So the first thing to do, of course, is to have you introduce yourself so we know that we didn't just have some guy show up at bottom of the hill to have a drink and sit down and have a chat. So who are you again?
I'm Joachim from the Caesars.
Band name. So is it kind of disappointing to not have the whole gambling meaning known here in the United States? Because it really has changed the whole, it doesn't change the whole perspective of the band, but I mean, when I hear your music, and I know I've been to Caesar's Palace, you kind of, I could hear your music being played in Caesar's Palace.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't feel too bad about it though. I think Caesar's is a really cool name as well. Like the emperors, I think that's, you know, stupid and cheesy enough to be cool.
But of course, you also have been the 12 Caesars, and then the record company didn't quite let you. How far did you fight them on all of that? Because you wanted to be the Caesarians.
Yeah, the Caesarians. I thought the Caesarians was cool, but you know, we didn't really fight it. We didn't. You know, at that point, we didn't. We hadn't even like ever been over to America at that point, and we didn't really think that we would ever even go or anything. So. We were just like, yeah, well, the 12 Caesars is okay as well, you know. But the Caesarians would have been cooler, but it sounds a lot more punk rock, and you know, and we're not really punk rock, so maybe, I think the Caesars is, you know, that's probably the best name.
Yeah. Tell me about the tour so far. Any good stories, any fans, anything that's really been kind of like, has anybody thrown an iPod at you yet?
No, there was this geek, like, in a one of the we were touring in England just before we got here, and then there was this guy who tried to get up on stage and dance around with an iPod when we were in Manchester.
Seriously, with an iPod?
Yeah, seriously. But our guitar tech just pushed him off stage. Yeah.
Was the stage high?
Yeah, it was high, and I think he hurt himself pretty badly. But you know,
uh-oh.
What can you do? But no, but the tour in America has been going great so far. You know, it's been so much fun. And we just got here. We did like Paris and Hamburg, Berlin, and then, you know, maybe six or seven English shows. And it was like, you know, all sold out, just a blast, a lot of fun and great. And then we went home to Stockholm for 2 days. And then after that, we flew to LA. And we started off like with a sold out show at the Troubadour, which was a lot of fun.
Troubadour. Now, do you know the story about the front room of the Troubadour?
Yeah.
The front room of the Troubadour is where the Birds and, you know, Stills and all of those guys wrote some of their most famous songs. They used to hang out at the Troubadour, do way too much drugs in the lobby of the Troubadour there, and that's where they wrote a lot. You know, 8 Miles High was written in the lobby of the Troubadour.
Wow.
Speaking of psychedelic songs.
Yeah. I mean, you can feel it when you're at that place. You know, it's got a lot of, you know, It's got a nice atmosphere to it. You know, you can feel that there's, you know, there's been some stuff that's taken place there, you know.
A lot of stuff has taken place. So this is your fourth album. I mean, we're sitting here, and this is not your first foray into this. So did the success of Jerk It Out rush the timing of album of Paper Tigers in any way, shape, or form, or was it kind of always in the plan? Because you started this, you know, album really in 2003, right?
Yeah, no, we just finished the album, and then when we were done with it, we put it out. You know,
so the timing was okay.
Yeah, the timing was great.
I mean, now,
it could have been better, actually.
So you've been at this in some cases since kindergarten, right? In a band since '95. So you're not the new kids on the block. You've already run the Sweamish. You've won the Sweamish Grammy Award,
which
is even funnier. But how does it feel to have all this attention in the U.S. after a decade of being a, you know, a pretty solid band?
Well, I mean, to be quite honest, it doesn't feel all that strange because it's, you know, it's like we're kind of ready for it. We're old enough to not.
You're not 21 years old.
No, we kind of, you know, we're not gonna, you know, start getting delusions of grandeur and you know, big heads and stuff like that because. You know, we've been doing this for 10 years, and we we'd probably be, you know, doing this for another couple of years at least, you know, so. But it's we're all very happy about it. You know, things are going well, and a lot more people show up at the concerts, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun. The progress, it's been good, you know, we're all happy about it.
Now, you started out a lot more, I've listened to the early stuff, and you've started out even more garagey by a long shot, and then the organ and the Mellotron came into play. So tell me about that little progression there and how that really did change the sound quite a bit.
Well, when we started out, you know, we were just like really more of a, like a bunch of friends than, you know, it wasn't like we, you know, headhunted the best guitarist or the best, you know, bass player or anything like that. It was more like, you know, we were a group of friends that were hanging out anyway. And, you know, I didn't play guitar when we started this band. I started learning how to play guitar when we started, you know, rehearsing and stuff. So, you know, in the beginning we sounded like really, really crude and raw, but it was still kind of like, you could still hear, you know, Caesar's voice was there, and, you know, you can hear the songwriting, you know, in the first records as well. But we didn't have the organ, and I didn't know how to, you know, I didn't yet master, you know, singing and playing guitar at the same time. So we didn't have any, you know, harmony vocals or, you know, backing vocals or three-part harmonies and stuff. We wanted to, but we really couldn't, you know. We wanted to sound like the Byrds, but it ended up sounding like, you know, Billy Childish, you know, or something instead, you know.
So. Minor difference.
Yeah,
minor difference. But the album, now, am I mistaken here, was there a big psychedelic era and a big British invasion that happened in Sweden? Because certainly the album shows that a lot of that got into your heads, Major League. So how did that get there? Am I mistaken, or was that stuff really big in Sweden?
I don't know. I mean, British invasion, I mean...
Well, British invasion was everywhere, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, there was a lot of psychedelic bands in Sweden in the 60s, you know, and we've dug up some of those old records and listened to it. We weren't around, you know, we're not that old. We weren't around then, but...
But there were psychedelic Swedish bands that we've probably never heard.
Yeah, or maybe you have heard, like, of like the Mecky Mark Men or, you know, stuff. There's Swedish bands that did fairly well, but, like, on an underground psychedelic scene. There was like, a live, vibrant, you know, underground rock scene in Sweden, and there's been one since, you know, the 60s, you know, all the way on, you know, on, up until today.
See, but to us, it's all new.
Yeah.
Not the psychedelic, but the idea of a Swedish band, yeah. Because, of course, what everybody here is prone to say, and they probably have to you already, is, oh, well, you just listened to all of those Blues Magoos records or whatever it is and decided you were going to do that, but that's not where it came from, obviously.
Well, some of it came from there as well. I mean, we listened to a lot of American psychedelia as well, or English, and you know, we, all of us are, you know, kind of, we're music fans, and we buy a lot of records, and you know, we buy a lot of old records and new records, you know. We listen to a lot of different kinds of music. And it's not that easy. I think that's one of the beauties of our band, though, that you can't really, like, you can hear a lot of different influences, but we don't steal everything from the same place, you know.
You know? I like that. We don't steal everything from the same place.
No, we take little bits and bobs, you know, from here and there, and then...
Well, everything's derivative, isn't it? The Beatles and the Stones and everything, yeah. They were derivative in the long run.
Exactly, you know, but it's more like, you know, it's a tradition. You know, you can't help but, you know, if you're a music lover, you can't help it, you know, buying records and listening to what other people do and getting inspired by that, you know, but I don't see anything wrong with that. But so long as you have, you know, something that you contribute with as well, you know, that you bring something of your own into the mix as well, and you know, make it your own, sort of. And I think we've succeeded in doing that. I think we have, you know, quite a distinct and unique sound. Although, I mean, you can hear influences, obviously.
Well, but if, you know, why would you want to listen to something if it completely sounded like something you never heard before? Because you wouldn't have any reference point. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be music. It would be something else.
Yeah, it could be exciting, though. I don't know.
If we hear it, we'll let you know.
Okay, yeah.
So, as I was listening to the, I was kind of listening to the album track for track yesterday, and really listening to it through and pretending I was at a party, and this really is a party album. So what kind of food would you like people to serve as they listen to this album at their party? Funny question.
I don't know. Cucumber, carrots, you know. Yeah, cucumber.
So this is a vegetarian party, the Caesars here.
Yeah, I think so. It's not a barbecue. It's not.
No barbecues.
No meat.
No meat. Okay, we'll remember that. Okay, you recorded Paper Tiger at two very different studios, and I kind of read about them. Now, Silence was absolutely in the middle of that dark Swedish thing that you call winter and night, and you cranked out. Am I right? You cranked out 9 tracks in 5 days there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the beauty of the place. It's like in the middle of the forest, like really near the Norwegian border. And we were there in November, and it's just fallen. And yeah, it's like maybe if you're lucky, there's like 3 hours of daylight every day. And, you know, but it's very isolated. So you don't get disturbed by, you know, outside things. So there's really nothing else to do than to, you know, focus on the music. And then we were like, you know, we had time to cook dinners and have nice, you know, nice dinners with red wine and you know, and still, you know, so many hours of work every day. And, you know, it's really like focused and concentrated, which was really good and productive.
Now, you didn't bring a big producer in. This was a self-produced album. Did the band agree with all the decisions that were made?
Pretty much. We weren't necessarily trying to make it sound slick. It's just like, you know, yeah, but well, yeah, we all kind of, you know, we tend to agree on most decisions, you know, as a band. It's like, you know, when I have an idea, you know, present stuff, I'm not just doing it just because I want to be the boss or something. I have some kind of, you know, there's some kind of thought behind it. And most of the time we don't fight that much, you know, we're all, you know, kind of like pulling the stuff in the same direction, you know.
So, speaking of being the boss, was it your choice to include Jerk It Out on Paper Tigers? Or was that the record company saying, you know, this thing has just hit, people might not go back to the last album, this would be a smart move?
That was like the record company, you know.
How'd you feel about it?
I think
because it is different than the rest of the album.
It is a little bit different, but the way I see it is more like, you know, that's there like as a little bonus track on the American version of the record. So
it's not. Is it not on the Swedish version of the record?
No,
because there was no need.
There was no need. You know, we already had a hit in Sweden like 2 or 3 years ago with that song, and you know, so I don't. You know, we in Sweden it's not included, but I don't mind, you know, it's a good song and it's like attached to the album like a bonus track. I don't, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's still our song and we still love it, you know. So. And if they like it enough to want to, you know, start digging deeper, there's a lot of other stuff to find as well.
Yeah, like the rest of the album?
Yeah, and like the three other albums that we made.
Yeah, exactly. Has the iPod commercial run in Sweden?
No, not yet, but I think it's about to start running, actually.
Like, so won't that be an interesting thing? People who are totally familiar with your music there, and this comes on, and they say, oh, yeah, that American company, oh, they picked up the Swedish guys.
Yeah, I don't know. There hasn't been so much, like, people in Sweden hasn't, you know, they don't know about this thing, really. So, well, maybe they will notice when they...
What an interesting backwards trajectory, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of funny, but it's the way it goes sometimes.
No, I think it's cool. Tell me about the album name. Tell me about Paper Tigers. Is there any deep-seated, you know, you didn't do We Meet the Caesars.
No, we just stumbled across the word, or I did, and I just thought it, you know, it sounded really like poetic and but it was cool sounding. You know, it just gives me cool images in my head, and it was. It originally is like, you know, it's an expression from like old communist China. They used to call them like their enemies, and especially America. They used to call America a big paper tiger.
Really?
It's like something, yeah, that's something like, you know, looks scary, but it's really not. And, you know, just kind of, you know, and it's also, you know, but to me it's like, you know, paper tigers just sounds like, you know, it goes very well together with the album art, you know, the kind of collage-y cut out like album art, and you know, the word was, you know, it was a song titled Paper Tigers as well, and you know, I just thought it was a nice word, had a nice ring to it.
Speaking of songs, let's see if I can do, I'm going to do my in America we call it Monday morning quarterbacking, where I'm going to guess, but I think We Got to Leave is the next huge single. What do you think?
It was the first single off the record in Sweden, actually.
Do you think people have a perception? I mean, people have a perception of British bands. They have a perception of British bands. But Sweden's a little harder. You got the Hives, you got the Cardigans, you've got the Caesars, you've got that other band that sang Dancing Queen, those guys.
And we got Soundtrack of Our Lives.
We got Soundtrack of Our Lives.
You think Citizen Bird?
Yeah, of course. I've played Citizen Bird, absolutely.
Yeah, I love Citizen Bird.
Yes, I've played them.
An electronic band called The Knife that's really great as well.
So you think people have a, you know, they come to you and then they don't, number one, do they realize you're from Sweden? Is there any sort of perception there, or do they kind of...
I really don't know. I don't think everybody over here necessarily understands that we're from Sweden. And, it, you know, hopefully it doesn't you know, it doesn't have, you know.
It doesn't matter, but it's interesting.
It doesn't matter. We're just like a band, and I hope that, you know, I hope that people don't think that we're a good band, a good Swedish band.
What would that be anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
They're a really good Lithuanian band. What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, either it's good or it's not.
He plays the guitar with kind of a Swedish style. Yeah. Do you notice that?
I don't know what a Swedish style would be, really.
Maybe. I don't either.
Maybe there's some kind of Swedish touch in some of our melodies, though, or something. I don't know.
Maybe. There could be something there. How different are you guys in concert? Do you rock harder? Is there something different?
There's a little bit more, you know, concert's more about energy, maybe. And
big dance numbers?
Well, not necessarily dance numbers, but, you know, we there's a little bit more rock there, maybe, live. But I think it should be as well, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the last thing that we like to do, which is really kind of fun, and this is our little secret for the last half hour of what we do, is we want to make a CD, and I know, given your influences and that you listen to a lot of records, you're going to have a lot of fun with this. We want to make a Caesar's musical sandwich.
Oh, wicked.
And yeah, see, people either get into it, but I read your history and I was like, you're going to have so much fun with this.
Yeah.
So two of your songs is the bread, and then literally as many fillings as you want. Whatever you want to hear between those two songs, I will find it, I will play it, I will send you the CD of exactly what you've asked for, and I will segue it exactly as you asked me to.
Nice.
So hit me with a Caesar's musical sandwich.
Okay.
So two of your songs is the bread.
Okay, then, you know, I go from the bottom, and that's, I'd like to start with Spirit, the first song on the record. So that's a really cool song. And then after that, Hanging on the Telephone by The Nerves. I'm such a nerves freak. I never do a mixtape or, you know, best off list or anything like without at least like one Nerves.
This is what makes this kind of stuff joyful. Yeah. There you go.
We might as well, you know, play, you know, When You Find Out or something, like, you know. And then after that, Pretty Ballerina by The Left Bank. Okay, so let's see. What do we have here? We have Hanging on the Telephone. Uh-huh. Did we say A Million Miles Away by the Plimsolls?
We can do that too.
Yeah, sure. And then When You Find Out by The Nerves, Pretty Ballerina by The Left Bank, and let's see. Let's do Shake Some Action by the Flaming Groovies, please.
Oh boy, I know exactly where you are. Okay.
Another Girl, Another Planet by The Only Ones. And Stranded by the Saints, please. I don't know. I would like to listen to a Citizen Bird song.
Okay, which one?
I would like to hear, do you know a track called Path Through a Forest by a group called Factory?
Oh, I can find it, no problem.
I like the Ponies, Let's Kill Ourselves.
Okay.
It's a band from, where are they from? Chicago.
Yeah, I think they're from Chicago, yeah.
That's a good song. And what else? Let me think. It's too bad you don't have Broder Daniel. That's a really great Swedish band.
What are they called?
Broder Daniel. It means Brother Daniel. It's
you can try to find it.
You're not going to, maybe on the internet.
Well, that's probably what I'd have to do.
Yeah.
But we never ever would do that, would we?
Or I could burn you a CD with it so you could play it.
Oh, there you go. That wouldn't be, there you go.
They got a great song. It's called You Bury Me by Broder Daniel. That'd be kind of cool, though.
Sure.
And I could also play a new song from the new Citizen Bird record. You know, Citizen Bird are originally called Silver Bullet in Sweden, but they're called Citizen Bird over here. And I would like, they've got a new record out called Arc Light, and I would like to play a song from there called Only Gold.
Did we have a closing song for the Caesars, by the way? Did we have a closing
one?
No,
I didn't say that.
Didn't do that yet, okay.
No, so, but we can play, I like Your Time Is Near. That's a nice closing song.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. Beautiful.